In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Amanda Atkinson, and Karen Stewart, as we talk about praise, flattery, and people thinking well of you being used by God to test you. This is Hijinks episode, Hilarious Stories, A Menopausal Woman Being Honest. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners and all newcomers. You are equally welcome and embraced. And we send blessings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. And for a repeat visit, it is Amanda Atkinson and Karen Stewart, both having done flights today. So energy and strength be yours.
Yes.
Yes.
Receive it.
Receive it. Are we on caffeine?
Yes.
I don't do caffeine. It doesn't work for me.
Does it not?
No, it just gives me a splitting headache and that's it.
No.
There's nothing else. So
you need prayer. When you need, like, do you do like a B12?
I do multiple, probably an unsafe number of B12s. I took about five of them today, actually. Yeah.
Did you? Okay.
Did, yeah.
Like in like a vitamin, yes, chewy thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I got to do something. Yes.
The American aisles of supermarkets entertain me immensely about what you can buy. Yeah. The chewable, this, that, and the other.
The amount of B12 in Zipfizz, yes, that I've just been recently introduced to, I think it's 164,000%. Yes.
I mean, what bioavailability is actually in this? I'm talking to you, Amanda, because you're the medic.
Yeah.
Is it literally a mind over matter placebo effect?
I actually don't think it's the B12. I think it's the natural caffeine that's listed at the bottom. There's about five. Green tea extract. There's some other. Yeah.
No.
I think that's it.
What is natural caffeine, but sure,
it's all natural, but some, you know, it makes you feel better.
The green tea one in particular.
It does, right. Makes you feel, yes. Yeah.
Well, there we go. We're clearly not supplement ninjas. We take a lot, but we're not specialists, but we do know what God is saying. So I have to say, my son is doing he's submitting a short film to a film, I don't know what it is, competition, I suppose, short film competition. He's trying to make his way as a DOP. I've had to learn all of these acronyms.
A DOP.
Director of production.
No, director of photography.
Oh,
that's well, camera, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, I'm just going to the class behind the glass. Is that what it is? Director of photography? DOP? Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Correct. This is a class behind the glass. So he's doing a 72-hour real-time shoot for his short story.
Oh, wow.
A little bit. I don't even know what films do that, where it's all one take.
And oh, wow.
So I'm like, when are you going to sleep? Well, we're not. I have no idea what the quality of that film. So he said, I don't want to take those energy drinks, which I'm glad he said that, because they're all a carry on of, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Sugar?
Yeah. I don't know what those are.
Very, very high amounts of caffeine.
And then you can't even drive in a straight line. Right. So I've given him the B12 idea. But look, just wear yourself out and sleep. Seriously.
I did read some about it when I saw the 160,000%, and your body does not store that. It will keep what you need and release. So, I mean, you know, maybe it's more.
It will excrete.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Very good. There we go. Moving on. talking about the management of the young and their B12 needs and the old in front of us. Sorry, that's us making us all middle-aged.
I mean, we are.
I will own it.
We're not that far age different from each other, are we?
Mm-hmm. 51.
No, I'm the oldest.
Yep. All hail.
Would you like to remind me of? So I'm okay with that.
Own that. It's because you're full of wisdom.
That's it.
Karen, the Lord has been speaking to you. What do we need to know from the Lord?
Yeah.
Hit me with it.
Really focused on, as well, the younger generation. Yeah. And it started with reading, doing some time with the Lord. And I read Proverbs 27:21. The crucible is for silver. The furnace is for gold. And a man is tested by his praise, or by the praise given him. And I said, wow, Lord, how did I miss this one? What are you saying about that one? And very specifically, he spoke to me about the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, we all know COVID for us all had a lot of impacts, no matter where you are in the world.
Yeah.
In our country, we addressed all of the top ones, economics, as well as health, as well as social. But the one we have done poorly has been mental health.
Yes.
And so in our country in particular, the young people are still struggling greatly with that. And so there's a need for encouragement. There's a need for praise. There's a need for all of those things. But when you layer that on to what we have shown, our generation and older has shown of this is success in ministry. This is success in church. Now, and you add to that social media, which you know, as soon as a video goes up, the first thing everybody's looking at is what? Likes and views.
Yeah.
And so now it doesn't even matter what you said. It doesn't matter what the content of anything is. How is the algorithm going to respond? What kind of comments have I gotten? How many people have liked it?
Yeah.
And so now what I see the Lord saying is, this is how I'm testing the character of this generation.
Yeah.
You can get all the praise you want from strangers, but then how are you going to let the Lord shape you, your heart, and your character by that very praise that you get? Because here's the other piece. I had a conversation with someone who trains worship leaders, young worship leaders, and she said to me, Karen, this girl is phenomenally talented, and she's getting calls from all over the country. She said, but Karen, she shouldn't be out there doing anything. She needs healing. She needs, she's broken. And so, but I can't tell her anything because she has gotten so much praise and so much validation from the people who are inviting her and telling her that she's great. And so I asked the Lord, what does this look like? How does this work? Because praise being like, you think about the crucible, we know what happens when gold and silver are put in a crucible. Heat is what brings out all of the imperfection. So the Lord is saying, that's how I'm bringing out the imperfection in character.
So let's just sit in this verse. And I think, Amanda, you've got it in a different translation, and I do too. It's worth a review. This is Proverbs 27 verse 21. And it says this, the crucible is for refining silver and the smelter for gold. In other words, the Bible is talking about the place where refinement happens. It's talking about the boiling place where refinement and dross is revealed. Impurities come to the surface. And then it goes straight, but a person is tested by the praise given to him, or by the flattery that comes his way. What other translations do you have there, Amanda? Yeah.
So I have the Passion Translation, and it says, fire is the way to test the purity of silver and gold, but the character of a man is tested by giving him a measure of fame.
A measure of fame. What translation is that?
The Passion.
Well done. Yeah, that's a great a riff on that truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fascinating thing there is, in our generation, and we are in and around our 50s, in and around, enough said, in and around, but we got tested by something slightly different. We got tested by what? Abandonment, rejection, maybe some unkind words, a little bit of cruelty here and there. The kind of concept in our childhood of spare the rod and spoil the child. So perhaps an overstepping of the harshness and, oh, well, they can take it because it's going to shape them. That very much is our generation's an issue of, did you go deep in God to find the word of the Lord on the approval of the Lord? Because actually it wasn't coming from any other place.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes.
And to think of knowing that's the framework, at least for us in our generation, that's our underlying framework. But to consider its praise and flattery.
The opposite in this generation.
Does the exact same thing in revealing what's going on in the heart. And because it's praise, very easy to miss what the goal of it is from the heart of God and from the word of God with regard to this is going to show what's inside of you so that you can be purified.
And I think that the challenge there is, literally all of us need a healthy degree of celebration and endorsement.
Yes, absolutely.
That is not a wrong thing.
Absolutely.
You need the kind of concept of, in Philippians, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is good, think about such things. So we're all parents here, and you have two and grandchildren. You have
four.
4, I have 3. And so there's a number of children that float around between us. And we have understood the need to pile on a celebration of the good. And here is this thing, when it flicks and oversteps the mark, it actually becomes a cruel test because then you aren't able to measure the reality of your own character.
Right, right. Yes. And that's where I believe the problem comes in. And I believe that's what the Lord is really tagging in this particular generation.
Yeah.
Because it is necessary, just like you said, all of that is necessary.
Yes.
However, to not look at what it produces in you.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you run into the problem. Yeah. Very much like what you saw, you shared what you just saw this past week, right?
Yes. So a friend and friend of mine and I went to the Dove Awards. So the for those of you that may not know what that is, it's a award show like the Grammys for Christian music, and they have all different genres. And one thing that you know, I was asking the Lord, it was a very conflicting atmosphere. It's very interesting place to be. And so I was just kind of asking the Lord some questions, and he drew my attention to a lot of the young artists that received awards. They would make comments like, you know, for those of you that are up and coming, you may feel like you're alone, but keep pushing in because you're not alone, and the fans will, you know, start connecting with you. And it was very much what you're saying. It was almost like the praise and the things that they were receiving was what was validating the work of what they were doing. And it was very much not the Lord and not the...
And how old were the people giving the warnings from the platform?
I didn't hear any warning. Well, I take that back. There was Cece Winans came and she spoke and was talking about longevity, and Tamela Mann, another lady that has been in the industry for some time, did speak about, you know, keeping the first thing the first thing. And so
try to help those who are up and coming.
And I don't know their age. They're probably close to our age, I would think.
I'm going on with some of the in-depth analysis of this verse, remembering that we're in Proverbs 27, verse 21, that the physical praise of a person's performance or I suppose the show that they put on actually reveals a person's true nature. And basically, this is a biblical warning against the dangers of pride and the importance of humility. Now, that's fairly self-explanatory, I suppose, assessment of the verse. It's interesting. We've all watched each other go through remarkable rejection for being prophets, for being those who stand up against political ideologies and idolatries within the house of God, and so on and so on. We've all taken a fair amount of flack and just kind of rage on social media. There is a balance, isn't there? Mm-hmm. I find that the criticism, the hostility, the rage, the death threats, that level of abuse online is actually manageable if you have one or two people in your world who can truly reflect who you are back to you. Who are it doesn't need many. You just need one or two. You need one or two who are in your armpit and in your space, who are able to have enough authority and enough proximity to say, remember what God says you are. I actually think the reverse is true. That when there's a tidal wave of, we're so grateful for you, you're so epic, you're so amazing, look at the number of likes, I'm so glad you showed up, you look so gorgeous, look at your tan, look at your jewelry, look at your style. You actually need the same thing. You can take that in hundreds of thousands in the same way you can take hate in hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
But the same principle applies. As long as you have in proximity to you somebody who can reflect the opposite. Either no, don't listen to it, believe the report of the Lord, or actually no, don't listen to it, it's all ego. Actually, here are some things that you need to know for longevity. And the whole principle here is, who am I letting in to be a faithful friend who can wound me that I can actually navigate the turning tides of both accusation and celebration and flattery in the public square.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. That scripture, what earlier in 27, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Yes. Same proverb.
Yes. Right, yeah. In that same area. And the thing that struck me about this in particular, because when you think about silver and gold medals, and for all of you watching online, you know that if metals are heated up to a certain temperature, every impurity that's in them, and I've seen it done. I don't know if you've ever seen it done. Like if you look at gold or silver, you don't even look at it. If it's a hard piece, it looks shiny and it looks great. Mm-hmm. And heat it up into liquid and it gets covered with a black film all the way across the top. You never even knew that black was inside the metal. And that's the purpose of heating up that metal, to reveal it, and they just kind of scrape it off, and that's how it gets cleansed. Think about this scripture and what it's saying. It's comparing praise given to them in the same way. So that praise revealing what's in you and letting it come to the surface. So it's not just about, yes, somebody needs to celebrate you because we do, needs to encourage you, so we do. But what comes out of you when you are on the receiving end of it? And I think it's the exact flip side of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What comes out of you when that hate gets leveled at us?
Yes.
Yep. What comes out of you when the praise gets leveled at us?
Yeah.
It is the same thing. It has the same effect according to the word of God. The exact same effect. But this can be entirely missed. And largely, here's where we have to own responsibility. Did we not show the example the generation before? Well, this is success. For us, it was how many people were seated in the chairs in our churches. Because we didn't have likes and shares on social media.
Yeah.
So we had crowds, especially in America. You know, everything for us is numbers, right? We had crowds. How many books did we sell? All of those things. Yeah. We measured that as success. And I know we recently had a conversation in a meeting, team meeting, talking about what is biblical success.
Yes.
What does that look like? We've painted a different picture that really this generation has just kind of co-opted in their terms. So in their terms, it's likes, it shares, it's comments, but it's the same exact thing. And it doesn't have any substance.
Yeah. If you think about it, the comment that you made, our generation didn't, maybe they didn't receive these accolades. And so as this older generation, what response are we brave enough? Have we been brave enough to speak truth to those that are younger than us that need that truth spoken? Mm-hmm. Or has it been we're leading, raising them up, whatever, out of our wounded places that we didn't get this? So we're going to pile on something, and the pendulum has now swung completely to the other side, having the same result.
I think as you go through life and menopause, sorry to bring up that word, but that's our shared reality space, isn't it? And I think you grow into the place where you're content to say, I know less than I ever thought I did, and Jesus help. And some of the issues of life become so great that you know you can't fix them apart from the grace of God and an intervention of the divine hand, a miraculous loving Savior. I think what I notice a lot is within this world of what praise and flattery has done is we are unconscious of our incompetence. Yes. And what used to be the case, so whenever I began prophesying, the question would often be, we would like prophecy in our church. Oh, we would like deliverance ministry in our church. Can you help us do that? Can you help us do that? And then, of course, there's all the fear about people getting it wrong. And what if they say the wrong thing and panic? Yep. We've all lived that. Nobody wants to get it wrong. And my comment always was then, okay, here's the top tip. If you have 10 or 20 watt light bulbs. We're back to, we're way, how menopausal we are. Ignore the LEDs, okay?
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, voltage and wattage light bulbs. Yeah. And in other words, a dim bulb, a dim light bulb, if you put it next to an 100 watt light bulb, we'll start to see, oh, I don't shine as bright.
Right.
Oh, that's a really good thing. So if I have an 100 watt light bulb prophet who's going going, rah, rah. I think I wrote this in one of my books. You know, come on, then you get to see, this is where I need to grow. And isn't it great? There's an alley and a pathway, and I watch it and I learn by watching the brightness. And I actually think I would have to completely redo that analogy. It just doesn't seem to hold. Why? Because you can sit it as a 100-watt light bulb. It doesn't really matter what operations director, broadcaster, prophet, really great authority in deliverance ministry. Mm-hmm. Pick where your skill set is, where you and I think we're probably closer at our age and stage to the 100-watt. Yeah. What I now find is that there is such an unconscious incompetence, they don't actually realize that you're more trained than they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I find that, how do you navigate that when there is an unwillingness? Because I've heard the flattery, I believe the flattery, my generation says everything is possible. I don't even get the comparison of my own failure. I'm unconsciously stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Yeah. Incompetent. You're incompetent. Incompetent. And you don't even see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's very difficult to share that.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Because how can you be telling me that when everybody else is telling me something different?
That is it.
Yeah. And does that not become the thing that reveals what's actually in my heart?
Yes, absolutely.
There it is.
That's really where you get to when you are taking courage and saying, okay, listen, when you're one of the one or two, you gave the example, whether it's coming against hate or coming against praise, you need at least one or two. Yep. When you're one of the one or two saying, listen, this is a problem and you need to get this together. And then you're one or two versus 100 or 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you going to tell me that when I've got all of these people now? Mm-hmm. You've been crossed over into unteachable.
Yes.
You've crossed over into
dangerous,
not being corrected. Mm-hmm. Yep. You cannot be corrected. Where do you go from there? That means this point now, you've turned the corner and everything that comes out of you is going to be contaminated.
Yes.
Because even though we think, oh, this is just a little thing. When you are speaking, whether you're speaking, whether you're preaching, whether you're singing, and you're doing that allegedly, releasing the word and the voice of God, everything that's coming out of you now is contaminated with
and,
you.
And unusable. And unusable.
Yes. Yeah.
And then offense grows. Can we make this personal? To what extent do we as perhaps middle-aged women think that the Lord does this to us, but we think he can't possibly mean me? Where God is actually pointing the finger and saying, now actually, Karen, Emma, Amanda, actually there is an incompetence in something that you've got. Yeah. There's a trust issue. There's a figuring out in your own issue. There's a repetitive pattern with, I don't even know, relationships, friendships, money, eating. I don't know what it is. The issues that we all hit over. And God's saying, you're unconsciously incompetent in that area. And we all go, you couldn't possibly mean me,
surely
God.
Not.
Surely not. But I think we've all lived that. And then we understand that if we don't have a contrite heart and the prayer of David in the Psalms, you know, where we rip open our own chest cavity and say, you desire truth in my innermost parts. If we won't cry, even as older women now and mothers and grandmothers, you desire truth in my innermost part. And we're no different from the next generation coming up in their unconscious incompetence or hostility to the word of God, and the need to find a modeling that says, well, I'm dust.
That's it.
So I'm sure I've got something to learn.
And I think we've chatted a bit about relational connections.
Yes.
And it's allowing yourself to be vulnerable enough to let somebody love you enough to speak into you those hard things. And, you know, maybe the first time you hear it, you're like, okay, maybe that's me. That's not me. It's taking it to the Lord. Is that me? Is that me? Search me. Know me. Mm-hmm. Right?
And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in your past everlasting. Yes.
And I think we've been talking around not just here, but just amongst us and others that we speak to, the relational dynamic is key.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I can start at the foundation of, I know that this human loves me.
Absolutely.
I'm entirely.
Doesn't that change everything?
It changes everything. That doesn't mean I'm excited about hearing about it. Doesn't mean I'm immediately going to say, yeah, you're right. Probably won't. I'll go home and go in the closet and close the door and talk to the Lord about it. I might not even immediately tell you anything. But if I have the foundation of knowing, I am not unsure about this thing, this person does love me and is not trying to hurt me. Now I have a foundation of, okay, Lord, is this what you just said? Is this something that I need to deal with or answer?
So I have a story. We were here recently for a conference.
Oh, yes.
And in Glasgow. Karen and I were walking to get some kebabs. And
oh, Americans say them kebabs.
Whatever. They were good.
But kebabs.
Kebabs.
Please tell me you went to Baz.
We did.
The best halloumi fries in Glasgow. Sorry.
So
sidetracking.
Sorry, sidetrack. It's food. And you made a comment to me. And
oh my goodness.
I was getting nervous.
She made a comment. Like and I don't remember the beginning part of it.
Yeah.
But I'll just be real vulnerable. She said something about being okay to not be needed. You need to be okay to not be needed. That's all she said. That was just comment. We went on talking about something else. I went home and that did something in me. Because I know you love me. And I know that you love me enough that if there's something that you see or something that the Lord's impressing on you, whatever, that you're going to say that. And it's not from a place of, oh, I'm trying to correct you or, you know, anything. It's I want to see you be the best and everything that God's called you to be. Mm-hmm. And so I have wrestled with that with the Lord and actually have gotten some very great breakthrough. He has spoken to me about several things and I've seen transformation from a comment walking to get dinner. And you probably didn't even realize that was.
I did not. I didn't
until this moment
right now, on TV.
To me, that is like one of those that is like a spinach in your teeth thing.
Yeah.
To me, that's I need you to get that out your mouth. That's love to me.
Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Don't let me walk around with a blind spot of whatever
it is,
not tell me because how is that love? And then how am I supposed to go or grow beyond that?
That's
and
right.
I really feel like, especially in this era of the Lord is not going to pass up an opportunity to reveal what is in our hearts because he's looking for a purified bride, right?
Yes.
And so how do we get there?
Yeah.
Is it just the opposite of what we were in, or is it what's happening in this age? Everything about you is wonderful and great. You don't need to change anything. He's going to use whatever he needs to use to
absolutely.
Reveal what's in your heart because the goal for him is purity.
And if we can put this, you know, as we are in the context of communion and community, we commune with each other. Mm-hmm. Community sometimes sounds a bit like a community center where we all, I don't know, do flower arranging. What does a community center mean to you?
I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't think
it's arrangement. I know what you mean.
Basketball is back home. Everybody's outside playing basketball.
Community centers to me in the British Isles are usually dirty, grubby, unclean.
They smell.
Yeah. They smell sweaty.
Yes.
So community, I'm like, no.
Not interested.
Not in a sports hall, please.
No.
So I much prefer the concept of communion. It pushes something a little bit deeper. I can cope with communion. We're in communion with each other. Yes, less smelly. Well, who knows? And the Godhead, the communion with the Godhead, with the divine, and the healing that comes from that place. Interestingly, I was doing what I do this Tuesday evening. I was training our Raising Prophets on a Zoom call, the usual influx of, this is year two. So they've been with us nearly 2 years at this point because it's the tail end of the year. They know us well. And you think, I've taught you my best thoughts on prophecy, seriously. And here we are, and here we are, and here we are. I love them. I love them. They are great. And fair play to them. They've gone through the mill by 2 years, you know, deconstructed, reconstructed 16 times over. So bless you if you got to that point in our program. And we were on a leadership and character development call. And I said, let's start with questions. Who's got some questions before I teach on leadership? Which, of course, I get distracted. And then 40 minutes later, oh, yes, I've got a sermon to preach. You can hardly imagine it, I know. But somebody asked this question about, I'm submitting prophetic words. I don't even think they said it as politely as that. I'm giving prophetic words of correction to my church leadership. What do you do when they don't listen to you? And I'm just giggling because my question there was a question we've asked a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Well, how many people do you allow to correct you?
Yes.
I mean, give me the list of names. Mm-hmm. And this RP, bless her. Actually, she was a great, thank you. Not going to mention your name, but thank you, because it's these questions give us all great opportunity to learn. And she said, well, four. I have four people that I allow to correct me. And I actually thought, actually, that's probably higher than many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably quite good going. It's a good innings if you've got four people you let speak into your life.
Yeah.
And how many does your pastor have that he lets speak into his life? Well, probably about the same. Well, are you one of them?
That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
So why on earth would he take your critical words?
Right.
Yeah.
And it comes from that communion space of I feel so loved that I will actually take almost anything you say and give it space.
Yeah. And I think that's it, right? Because the second question, how many people do you allow to speak into your life?
Yes.
And then the second question for me would have been, and what kind of relationship do you have with those
people?
You need to come on and do the training because you would have enhanced that.
Because that's exactly what I said. So then I will go to the pastor and say, and what kind of relationship do you have with him or her?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because usually that's where the whole thing breaks down.
Yes,
especially with, you know, we're all excited, you know, learning that we got a word of the Lord and we got to tell him and the whole world needs to know and listen. No. The world does not need to listen.
And those relationships take time to build.
They really
And do. They take time to build through loving and serving and not coming in with an entitled.
Yeah, and there's attitude. A walking with, right? And it's not always, especially because this younger generation makes friends differently.
Yes.
Than we did, by all means.
Yeah.
They call each other friends in ways that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not always a time as in a time on a calendar.
Yes, exactly.
But it is time well spent together.
Yes.
And it is the vulnerability, which they're very good at.
Very
that.
Good, they are, yeah.
And transparency. However, it's the realness and the honesty where that means that needs to be some weight in this little group. Mm-hmm. So if all of us here have whatever, we love each other and I can hear you, but two of the three of us are idiots, then that doesn't matter. I need some, you know, no, I'm not saying, no, I'm not.
Which two of the three of us are idiots?
No, I said if, no.
It depends on which side of the coin she's on. Is she wanting to fly?
I'm making an example only. I am not saying that.
Amanda, I think it's you and I today, but I'll take it.
I will too.
If it's the three, I'm using us as an example. If the three of us are building relationship, we are growing together, we love each other, but nobody has any sense. That is also not helpful.
That's right.
Because how then do I take what you say to
me
and use that to build on or to make change in? Mm-hmm. So you gotta have voices in your life, in your circle of influence, in your oikos, if you will, that have some weight that can speak into you. And this is another thing this generation does. They will take the counsel of their friends and their peers more than they will take ours, which is not
helpful. I mean, you're pushing into the concept there, Karen, of the issue of only having Job's friends, which can happen at any age
at
and
any
stage,
age.
And you're egged on
to
your own stupidity.
You really are.
By a council of Job's friends.
Correct, which is not helpful.
Which is kind of a common to break out of your echo chamber in essence.
Yes, it is. And we see that. And have we not been talking about in all kinds of different spheres, and certainly on these broadcasts that we do, no matter what it is, if you are speaking to the same group and you speak about the same thing, you watch the same shows, you listen to the same podcast, there shall be no light and no insight that comes into your space. So it doesn't matter what age you are. You've got to be open to allowing the Lord to challenge you, even with the praise of somebody who loves me.
Yes.
So that I can recognize, wait a minute, what does this do to me when I hear it?
So can I ask this? And we all would say at our age and stage, we've been tested by accusation, criticism, all of us.
Yeah.
Have you ever been tested by praise?
Yes.
Can we put some meat on the bones of that? I don't want anybody to feel too exposed in the public space, but
For me, it has, I don't think that I've handled it well.
Okay.
Because for me, I am very distrustful of it. I do not trust the praise of anyone. It's very, very hard for me to receive.
And is that because of, again, age and stage, where actually the only helpful thing that made you grow was criticism?
I think it might be, because that is how I was raised. I was raised by, and this is not a real life example, but it's the best one, teaching me how to swim by throwing me off the side of a boat in the ocean.
I'm glad that didn't actually happen.
You know, thank God. I've heard people had that story. But that kind of thing of you are out here on your own, you're going to sink or swim. That's how I was raised. And so that's real to me. But you telling me, Karen, that was great. Karen, you're great. I'm very curious about it, suspicious of it. I don't understand. Okay. What are you really saying and what do you really mean? Now, that's not all good. I'm just saying, for me, that is not all good, but that's how I receive that.
So you've had to learn the opposite here of actually, I need to take the endorsement of friends.
Yeah, which is very, very challenging. Very challenging.
You know, it's funny because I think I've had a little bit of a mixture of both things, receiving accolades and praise and then doubting that that's their the truth. Right? But then also when they did come and it sort of settled, it just didn't do nice things on the inside of me. I feel like I... went to I don't want to say a haughty place in my head, but it was almost like there was doubt for so long that then when there was this mindset shift. So I had to really sit with the Lord a lot on that of like, okay, my value can't come from anything other than who you say that I am. It can't come from somebody saying good things. It can't come from somebody saying bad things. But it's very interesting for me because I think it started out probably also the way I was raised, not believing it, or then when it, you know, then when it did come, it was almost like you were so hungry or thirsty for it that you then just like latched on to people that were didn't have your best interest at heart.
Right.
And they were,
And so, and I know, of course, obviously not trying to expose anything, but you being so public and front facing, you get it from everywhere.
Every measurable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you measure through
it's,
that?
Well, it's interesting. When people, there's two or three, it's learned. I have to say it's learned. And there would be no way that I would be truthful if I didn't say we've got it wrong every which way round. It's a learned skill to navigate the opinions of men. I mean, in every extreme way that they come to you. And without becoming cynical or distant or shut down or so exhausted by the relentless of it that you can't function, because we've done all of those. Mm-hmm. We've backed off and retreated. Then we've overstepped and been bombastic. Yeah. And I'm going to prove to you that I've got something to say. We've done both extremes of that. Then we've got so tired in the flesh that we couldn't even figure out how to stand up because of the bombardment actually of praise and of rejection. Yeah. So they do test you. I mean, utterly, utterly relentlessly. I think two or three noteworthy things. I do say an awful lot. We say to each other, social media is not real. You have to be able to speak to it and tell it that it's not real. And the this isn't real. This isn't real. This isn't real. This isn't real.
Yeah.
You don't know me to praise me. You don't know me to critique me.
Yeah.
You don't know me well enough in any dynamic of life that is there. And then I think not only do you have to be rigorous, this is not real, this is not real, is you put yourself around the table with your family and you find the normal life of how are you and what did you do, my 17-year-old, my 19-year-old, I'm on the FaceTime to my 23-year-old. Here's my husband. Here's my father. Here's my, you know, and my dad made me giggle this week. So I think I might have said on par hour, was that yesterday? It's hard. You know, he sent me a birthday card 2 months early, 2 months early.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, you are the most hilarious person. And then back and forth and how are you? And the conversations of a man in a different generation who doesn't go onto social media and has a completely different take on the world. And all of that normalizing of conversation away and the looking at the and saying this isn't real. The weirdest moments I've ever had are when people are trying to introduce you and they either introduce you badly. You've watched some of those, haven't you?
Yes.
Can we just be frivolous for a moment? My most hilarious one. This is so bad. I mean, I just could not hold it together. I don't know that I'm
not going to bring
ever said this publicly. I was traveling with Sam Robertson and Alison Tyrrell. This is years and years and years ago. And we turn up at a church. If you heard the story, turn up at this church. And I think, I don't recognize this. I thought I knew them. And I say to the high-vis vest man who is manning the car park, oh, where's Pastor so-and-so? And he says, oh, that's the church down the road. And I think, oh, no, I'm in the wrong place. Oh, no, what have I booked? And I say, oh, you're doing a great job. Are you the janitor? And then the guy in the high-vis vest says, no, I'm the senior pastor. And I just think this is going really badly. So Alison and I go and hide in the toilets, which I thought were soundproofed and were not. Mm-hmm. And in a big loud voice, where are we? How did we book here? What am I doing? All of this kind of hijinks. And then we come out and Sam's going, they heard every word of your shenanigans in the restrooms. So we go and sit in the front row and the pastor is introducing me and it becomes clear that he can't remember who I am. And he says, we're so grateful. This will keep you humble, by the way. We're so grateful for this, you know, prophetic voice who's going to bring us the word of the Lord. And I think he actually said, and her name is, and then there's this awful pause and I think, will I help him out? And then I think, heck no. So I don't even know who he is. And he's taking his high-vis vest off. So he's fluffing through his notes and then there's this rustling of paper and the guest speaker tonight is... And again, like a total blank. And then the embarrassment in the congregation is clearly rising, which I sort of love.
Of course.
I don't mind the awkwardness of the moment. And I think I'm here for the ride. And I'm nudging Alison and Sam, don't tell him, you know, to see where he goes. And then it dawns on him and with great joy and in a very loud voice, he says, the guest speaker is Stella Artois. And I literally... I could not. Seriously. I think Alison fell off her chair. And then he's really irritated because I won't stop laughing.
Of course.
I couldn't even get up to take the microphone. But the congregation are embarrassed for him. I'm not embarrassed. I'm entertained. Yes. So by the time I managed to get up there, he's bright red. He still can't remember my name. And I go, Stella Artois. And all I do is repeat it for quite some time.
Of course.
Stella Artois. Like a raucous girl, you know. That's the best introduction I've ever had. You know. I have no idea what happened next. I have no idea how I even transitioned. I tell you, that introduction will keep you, yeah, probably the best prophet.
Yes.
Introduction.
We call you Stella.
Stella Artois. No, I prefer Stella McCartney for the shoes. But anyway, in all sobriety, there'll be moments where I've been standing in mega church, but there's like 5,000 in front of you, or you're in a Bible college in the States where there's an auditorium of thousands and they've come for their thing. Or there's one I remember particularly in Wales where an Asian gentleman was doing the very dignified honor of that culture. And I really appreciate that, but it's so threatening and intimidating because they have built you up to be more than you are. Mm-hmm. And then you're navigating your humanity and your dust. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm not comfortable with this and I don't like this. And I feel like I've got a, it doesn't bring the best out of people, actually. Yeah. Over honor, mm-hmm. flattery, it doesn't bring the best out of you, because for me, I then feel I need to be subversive to prove that I'm not the woman of God, because I hate that concept of the man and woman yeah. of God who is aloof or elite mm-hmm. and all of that. Mm-hmm. You navigate it all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So go back, get a friend in your armpit who will laugh at you, who will tell you mm-hmm. you're a basket case of nonsense mm-hmm. on occasions, yeah. Yeah. who will tell you you've got spinach in your teeth, yeah. yes. who will say, actually, you did that well. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. on other occasions will say, what are you talking about?
Right. Yes. Right. All of that is necessary.
All of it That's is necessary.
So all of that is necessary, yeah. especially if you're going to be healthy.
Yes.
If you're going to walk yes. the path of healing and wholeness, mm-hmm. and if you're going to be a purified voice, no matter what it is God's called you to release. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's his heart today. Yeah. yeah.
And I think we want that. We want others to be that for us. So we have to mm-hmm. be brave enough to then be that for other people, mm-hmm. for other people.
Absolutely.
And say the things that need to be said. I so appreciate
I'm here for you.
I know you are. I'm sure we'll have more talks later. It's fine.
We're having a communion moment, people. Communion, not a community.
No, no.
Smell far too good.
No one smells in here. So,
well, that's good because we've both been on airplanes. So the fact that we don't is really, it's
yeah.
really,
yeah.
Might get the big head now. You never know.
I smell good. I smell of the fragrance of Jesus. Get me. Well, thank you very much for joining us, my friends. I hope we have helped you just navigate some thought process, and there should be some actions. Am I currently being tested wrongly by too much criticism and I just need somebody to be nice to me? That's allowed. Mm-hmm. Am I being tested by high praise and I just need somebody to be real? Have I got the friends? Have I curated that? Am I the one doing all the criticism and critiquing, or are other people actually able to get to the place where they say, what about this in your life, my sweet friend? And you know what? Sometimes I was taught this by a mentor many years ago. Sometimes the best thing is that when you're giving a correction or a steer, the best thing is the person receiving it doesn't even know it. And sometimes you couch it in the sweetest way that you don't sit them down and say, I am going to correct you, or I think there's some home truths you need to know. But sometimes the best way it's done is to live a life of an yes. example, where actually people get to see, or you yes. say something, oh, really? Mm-hmm. And the facial expression is enough. And they realize that they were down the wrong garden path, yep. if that's the way of putting it. Okay. Before we go, I was about to quote a poem about paths. Yeah.
It's okay.
And I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
Yes.
God, I love ending love it. With a Robert Frost
poem. There you go.
Yes. There we go. Okay. Thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.